So you have before you, in, I printed it out, the Christmas story. And I wanted to start all the way from when John the Baptist, because to me, well, there'll be significance why. Just a little sharing of why. And so we're gonna go from Luke, and then we'll read, till verse 38 in Luke 2. Luke 1, we'll start at verse 5. Would anybody like to read also out loud? You'd have to have the microphone in front of you for the taping. So if anybody, otherwise I'll read out loud and then you can just follow along. Is that okay? Yes, no, maybe so? Okay. I'll read out loud and you can follow along. Okay. All right. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of, and this is where that word is, Abijah. That's how it was pronounced on that when I looked it up, but it's Abijah to me. Yeah, but it said Abijah. And I was like, okay. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness. You shall call, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make a ready people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of the service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Now, in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. For you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her,
the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to their fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever.
And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, No, he shall be called John. But they said to her, There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name. So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, His name is John. So they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them. And all these things were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, What kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying,
Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God,
with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give us light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius. Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, like we learned last week in our sermon, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them, and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Now,
there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord, and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. There is like, don't you love God's word? Because there's like so much power in this story. So much power in this story. And so many promises for each one of us in this story. I was just going over it again and reading it and reading it and looking at it and just was like floored at what all God was saying to each one of us. And what I like about this is like, to me, you know how we are all to be messengers of our salvation, right? To others, like Dick was praying, you know, to be asking God to create opportunities and look for those opportunities to share your salvation to others. Well, which can be their salvation, you know, but salvation through Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and to offer that hope to them. And to encourage those that maybe are Christians that are down and out, because let's face it, we all can have a time of valleys, in a sense, where we're not feeling close, and that's what we're here to help each other. And this is like, I love this story because it shows so much of it. Just like John the Baptist, he was called and chosen by God to prepare the way. We are chosen by God to prepare the way for the second coming. And we need to be excited about that because we're the bride of Christ. And let's face it, on the stress scale, you know, they say, you know, weddings, you know, they're all exciting and stuff. But on a stress scale, it's high up there on other things like that are bad things. I mean, it's a stressful time. So in this stressful time, God says in preparation for the second coming of Christ, for the bridegroom to come for the bride, it's going to be stressful times. It's not going to be easy. And 2012 has many challenges that are coming up, and especially for our country. But we are the ones that are going to be that bright light here that this word was talking about, that light of redemption to others that we can share and help them to be that bride that is well prepared and ready, watching and waiting and looking for the bridegroom to come. Because we don't know. James warns us that we never know. I mean, actually, we could go home to be with the Lord tomorrow. We don't know. Or tonight. We don't know. But most likely, the way prophecy is being fulfilled, we will probably see the Lord's second return. And unless the Lord takes us home sooner. But, I mean, this is a blessed thing. We're like John the Baptist, to be blessed to have that, to come. And that's why I wanted to start with John the Baptist. But do you remember where, with John the Baptist, his father became mute, right? Because he had lack of belief. But God has given each one of us promises, and we are pregnant with those promises, and it's about to be birthed. But we may, our unbelief may be delaying that birth. But as Elizabeth believed, and she then also was praising Mary, for she believed that fulfillment of the promise, was ready to be the one willing to give birth to that promise. God has given us many promises in the Word of God, but he's also given each of us individual promises and words to each of us. And just as it says the Word will be fulfilled in his time, and it will be fulfilled, the Word, the promise that God has given each one of you will be fulfilled in his time, not ours, in his time. Look at Zacharias and Elizabeth wanting to have a child for years and lifting up that prayer, and it wasn't honored for years, but then it was. And to be the one who was preparing the way for Jesus Christ. Wow, what a blessing. But you know what I love about that, too, is then she goes on to say, the angel says, nothing will be impossible with God. Now, the NIV say nothing is impossible with God. We need to remember this promise as we go into 2012, because God has given each one of us a personal promise. He has a destiny for each one of us. He has a plan and a purpose. Now, there are promises that are for all of us. There are words been given to us through the Holy Spirit, through God's guidance. And He is not done with any of our lives until He takes us home. And so we need to hold on to nothing is impossible with God. We are seeing the nothing's impossibles right here. In Genesis 18:14, when Sarah was pregnant, she saw that. And it says, you know, is anything, Genesis 18:14, it says, is anything too difficult for God? No. And we see then Simeon waiting. God promised, he waited a long time that God promised, and then God was ready to take him home. And then we see Anna serving God faithfully, fasting and praying, not seeing anything. And then all of a sudden, the fulfillment, and she sees Jesus, the Lord and Savior. There are many out there right now that God has a plan and purpose for, but they don't know that because they don't have Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we can be that light to them, as John the Baptist was, helping them to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, to receive everything that God has for them, and to continue to help each other to remember the promises when some of us are down in those valleys, very low, buried by the trials and tribulations of this world, and remembering, helping us to lift us up and see above the pile of stuff that we're having to have to deal with. We're going to really need each other in the year 2012. But this is where we got to remember, no matter what comes our way, that nothing is impossible with God, and nothing will be impossible with God, because whatever challenges we're facing right now and whatever challenges we come into in 2012, we have the Redeemer. We have the victory. We have the promises, and we have salvation. We have the power of Jesus' name and the blood that covers everything. All sins, all transgressions, all iniquities. For each one of us to grab onto the power of the promises of the spoken word. This is ours. Isn't this exciting? I don't know about you, but I'm excited to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When I wanted to do the Lord's Supper in celebration of that, and I was looking up what Christmas means on the internet, and I found this one, and it says the word Christmas occurs nowhere in the Bible, which we all know. It is an old English word that means Christ's Mass, which refers to the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Mass meaning the Lord's Supper. So the earliest occurrence of the word on record is 1038 AD? Okay, so Christians at this time considered the Mass, the Lord's Supper, to be the most important part of the celebration of Christ's birth. Hence it came to be called Christmas. Now remember, because really, Jesus probably was born March or April. But we're celebrating the birth of Christ now. And actually, we should celebrate the birth and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior each and every day. But this is a special time that we're celebrating together. So what I have is these disposable, the Lord's Supper right here. Yeah. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul was talking to the Corinthians, and he was reminding them that some of them were not taking the Lord's Supper with right hearts. And so remember that one thing he wants us to do is to remember forgiveness. Remember the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6? It really stresses about forgiving others, because as we forgive others, we are forgiven. So For some, it's easier to forgive. You know, they just like, okay, yeah. But for others, their personality, maybe it's not as easy, thank you, to forgive. And so, but either way, the Lord will help us to forgive others just as he has forgiven us for everything. And remembering that he'll take care of the rest. We just need to love and forgive just as we need to love him and serve him. And in that, we are loving and forgiving others and helping them. We are an extension of Christ's love to others. But this, to remember when the Apostle Paul, he was saying, so remember to be kind of basically, as I say it, fessed up. In other words, too. And so do you know how to get that? The small little piece lets the wafer. Okay. So the Apostle Paul repeats in this, and he talks about how the Lord, you know, reminds them how he had the Last Supper. And the Lord took the bread and he broke it. And he gave thanks and he broke it. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. I love it. The Amplified says, affectionately remembering him. I love that. But Christ's body was broken for each one of us. I love it in Isaiah where it says, by his stripes we are healed. We are made whole. So let us partake in this bread. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for what you did for each and every one of us. And I thank you for your healing, ministering power in our lives. Thank you. And then, after supper, he took the wine, and he took it, and he said, this is represented now, the new covenant. He shed blood for us. And he said, do the same. Do this in remembrance of me. The power of his shed blood over our lives and for each one of us. Thank you, Lord. We do this in remembrance of you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you and praise you, Lord God, for your love for each one of us, Lord. We thank you for the power of the Lord's Supper that it represents, Lord. We do this in remembrance of you, Lord God, and we thank you and praise you that your body was broken for each one of us. And that your shed blood cleanses each one of us. That it gives us then the power to claim the name of Jesus over every situation and the blood of Jesus over every situation and challenge in our lives and over our loved ones. We thank you and praise you that it also gives us the privilege to go to the throne room with our prayers, Lord God. We thank you for that power. We thank you that it also gives us the power to be full of your fullness, Lord God, through Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So we thank you. We thank you and praise you. And we thank you that we are not alone. Just like Elizabeth, Mary, they were not alone because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So are we. We thank you and praise you for this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And then we're going to light now. Can we light now? Can you light me one? And then we'll sing Silent Night, because isn't that like, I love the Silent Night one. This is so cool. But. And then we'll turn the lights off, because I love that we, you know, remember that verse that we read, and it's the darkness and the light? And I love that, because when it's really dark, just one candle, isn't it cool what it does? And I'm sorry, the reason it's like tea lights is because I don't, even those little ones with the through and the wax can get through, and I didn't want to ruin this beautiful floor. So that's why we have tea lights for our candles. So I know traditionally it's the other way, but I just didn't want to ruin his beautiful. Isn't it just, I just love it. I love it when it's just so dark and then you just have one light and it really helps. And this is what we're going to be, you guys, because it warns in the Word of God, it tells us that the world is going to get darker and darker in the end days before Christ comes again. But we are going to be this light in the darkness. Oh, did the lighter blow it? Can we light candles with... I had matches somewhere in that... The bin. There's matches too. I brought matches just in case my. Yeah. So, but I love this part of the service. This brings back special memories for me. I hope it does for, and if it doesn't, I hope you like it. If it's a new memory, new memories. But I love it. This is what,
this also, be careful. Don't flip. Flip it good. Okay. Leave it still. Okay. But what was I going to say?
Oh, yeah. But remember how it's going to get darker as Christ comes, you know, as the coming of Christ comes nearer. So we can be this light. That's what we're going to be. This, remember that little children's song? This is a light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. This is a light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. So, and that's what we're going to do. Let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. So, that's what we want to do. Now, hopefully you have enough. Do you have enough light to read your Silent Night? Don't get into the third verse, yeah. Okay, once I sing it, you guys will remember it though too. You'll get it. So, okay. Cuz like when somebody else leads it, then I'm like, "Oh yeah, yeah, okay, I remember it." Okay. We ready? We got our lights, huh? We're a light in this world, in this dark world. Awesome. Boy, Jeffrey's really lit up. Be careful, Jeffrey, not to catch your paper on fire. Yeah, stop it. Okay. Let's sing.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia, Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
That's kind of low for me. I did it. Did I do okay on that one for you guys? Because I was trying not to do it too high. So, but isn't this neat? Isn't this so pretty? I love this with the candle lights. And I just want to emphasize, like Dick, what you were praying this year, well, this coming year and the end of this year, ask God to create opportunities. And it was really neat. The hospice nurse was over the other day, and Paul called me back after he left, and he goes, "That was a good one, Karen, getting in the message of salvation." But when I was sharing with her somehow it came about, and I was sharing with her about how we moved into that neighborhood in Hayward, and we were talking about how we sold the home and came here, and I said, yeah, it was really neat where we lived, too, because we were talking about the drug situation here in Catalina. Then I told her, well, we had a drug situation, and when we lived in Hayward, we had a drug dealer across the street, and I would share with him about salvation, too. And he said he was in the Mexican mafia. So I said, you know what, though, you know, you had the drive-by shooting, you could have gone to be with the Lord, right? I mean, to go before the Lord right there and then, and he would, the judgment comes, and there's heaven or hell, and the only entrance into heaven is through Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I said, but he said, no, he couldn't do it, you know. And I said, but at least I was able to take the kids before, because we will all face the judgment seat of Christ. And one of the judgments will be whether we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Then we will also be judged for our words and our deeds, what we've done. And I shared that, you know, about how I did that with him. But it was a blessing to at least take the kids to church and to the children's program that we had. And so Paul, I was just talking, just matter-of-factly, not really specifically, but sharing the only way to heaven through Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so he was like, that was a good one, Karen. Yeah. So God can give you creative ways to be able to share that there is a heaven, there is a hell, and there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So we can be that light. And we need to remember that no matter what trials come, that Jesus, this is not our permanent home. Our permanent home is heaven for eternity through Jesus, because of Jesus and what he did for us. So I hope you guys have a very blessed, blessed, blessed Christmas. And remember, we got a treat. So stay and enjoy. Okay, have a blessed Christmas, and I'll see you next year. So.